this morning as we begin to preach a little bit through God's Word and we look at the fact that Jesus Christ is risen indeed, and what that means for you and I. I know Brother Frank just prayed, but I want to pause again if we could. And I just want to go before the throne of the Most High God and ask Him to help us in this time. Father, we love You. And Father, now I pray that You'd quiet our hearts. Lord, it's been a busy morning. Baptisms and music, and it's been wonderful. But Father, now we come to sit at Your feet. We come to Your Word. Father, today I pray that You would open our eyes to our risen Savior, to the reality of His resurrection. Father, to the impact of His resurrection for us. Father, I pray that You would meet us in a mighty way today. And that every one of us, from the staff that's here working the equipment, Father, to so many who are there in their homes, that every one of us would be able to say that truly, like the two on the road to Emmaus, we have met with the risen Savior today. Father, have Your will and way in this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. What a wonderful day this is. It's an opportunity for us to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is risen. And let's be very, very clear about this as we start. Jesus Christ, when we say He is risen, we mean He is risen from the dead. Jesus didn't just pass out or swoon on the cross and then kind of revive later. No, Jesus Christ died. He gave up the ghost. He laid down His life for you and for me. And then the Bible said gloriously 3 days later, He rose again. Jesus Christ is risen. When we say Jesus Christ is risen, let me be clear as well. We're not talking just about spiritually He is risen. No, Jesus Christ rose bodily from the grave. Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. When you come to these special services, sometimes, and those of you who've been in positions like this before, know sometimes it's a little difficult to know exactly what aspect or what angle of the resurrection you're going to cover. Because, you know, we got some really awesome stuff. But as I thought through kind of this morning, I realized a couple of things. I looked at the disciples. And you look at them in verse 33, and what do you find? You find 11 of them gathered in one room. That's no good, people. That's no good. No more than 10. That's what we're told. So I couldn't preach about the disciples this Easter Sunday morning. You also see the ladies who went to anoint the body of Jesus, but you look at the ladies and what were they doing? They were going out to the garden tomb. We're not supposed to gather in parks and public places at this time. So I couldn't preach about them. And I thought, what part of this Easter story could I preach about? Then I found two disciples who were going home with every intention of just being home by themselves. And I thought, there's a couple we can relate with this Easter Sunday. And so this morning, for a few minutes, we are going to talk about these two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And I love this, because you look at it, and what you find is this, that on the day Jesus Christ rose again, that He takes the time to walk 7 or 8 miles with these little-known disciples to a little-known place. And it's really revealing the things that we find in this interaction. We're going to find some things about our risen Savior, and we're going to find some things about our resurrection that speak right to us where we are, wherever we are, this Easter Sunday morning. So let's look at this together if we could. Beginning in verse number 13. The Bible says, and behold, two of them went that same day, the same day that Jesus rose again, to a village called Emmaus, which is from Jerusalem, about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these, that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? I love Jesus in this story too, by the way. You know, Jesus here kind of interjects himself. I love Jesus in this story. Answer, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast thou not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, what things? By the way, when Jesus asks a question, it's not because he needs an answer. Many times he asks the question not because he needs an answer, but because he's trying to show us that we don't have all of them. That's another story for another time. And he said unto them, what things? I don't know how he kept from laughing there. They said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be crucified to death and have crucified him. But we trust him that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. I want you to see the problem here. These two disciples were headed away from Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the place of the resurrection. Jerusalem was the place of our salvation. Jerusalem was the place where God was working. And yet here on this day, these two were headed away. This is a problem. And I'm not sure what was kind of going through Cleopas and his companion's mind. Because, you see, they had disregarded a lot of really specific things. How many times did Jesus in his earthly ministry made it very clear that he was to be delivered up, that he was to die, and that he was to rise again 3 days later? We see one such example in Matthew chapter 17, beginning in verse number 22, where the Bible says this in Matthew 17, beginning in verse number 22. The Bible says, and while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. How many times did Jesus told his disciples that exactly what had happened was going to happen? And yet it was on this day. Now help me, Cleopas, help me. You were there for the crucifixion, apparently, because you speak about it in great detail. And then you stayed in Jerusalem day one. And then you stayed in Jerusalem on day two. And you left Jerusalem on day three? I mean, don't you think if you were Cleo there, you would have given it one more day? I mean, you would have given it one more day. Not only had they missed the words of Jesus Christ, but they had missed the testimony of those who had been to the tomb. They had failed to believe what others had said, that we'll find later in this passage that the women came and they were astonished and said his body wasn't there. They had missed the words of Jesus. They had missed the testimony of the ladies. They decided it was a good time to leave Jerusalem. That's a problem. That's a problem. But I want you to notice what the risen Savior does here. If you look with me in verse number 15, it says, and it came to pass that as they communed together and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near. I want you to think about that with me for a minute. While these two were headed the wrong way, Jesus drew near. While these two disregarded or failed to understand the word of God, Jesus drew near.
While these two refused to believe the testimony of others, Jesus Christ still drew near to them.
You know what that teaches me? I mean, I'm going to give you three simple words this morning as we go that I want you to see from the resurrection. The first word I want you to see is simply this: love. Love. That in the midst of their problem, Jesus still pursued them. That in the midst of them walking away, the love of God still pursued them. In the midst of them failing to comprehend God's word, that Jesus' love still pursued them. That in the midst of them failing to hear the testimony of others, that the love of the risen Savior still pursued them. Jesus, who died for them, listen, in resurrection, reached out to them. This morning, as we consider that he is risen indeed, don't underestimate the love and the grace of our risen Savior. And the reality is, he is alive. And he is alive. And no matter where you are, he is reaching out to you in love. But you say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. I've been headed the wrong way. So are these guys. You say, preacher, I've never really understood. Neither did these guys. You say, well, you know what? So many people have tried to tell me. I've had so many chances. So have these guys. And yet the love of God pursued them still. He's alive, and he's reaching out to you. God's love pursues us. The Bible tells us in John 3 and verse number 16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loved, God gave, God is reaching out to you today. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, the Bible says this: but God commendeth his love toward us. He demonstrated his love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not you looking for God, it is his love and the love of the risen Savior that's pursued you. God works. Brother George and I were talking before he got baptized and after he got baptized, and to go down the road of his life and all the avenues that God was working in his heart and that God was preparing his life to bring him to the point where he could trust Jesus Christ. And it's amazing to look back and see all that God has brought me to and all that God has brought me through in his love. And this morning, God in his love is reaching out to you. Some of you felt it while you saw those folks get baptized. Some of you felt it while we were singing the songs. I tell you, if you have invested your spirit in this at all, you have felt God reaching out to you. I tell you, one of the most amazing avenues that we see on a regular basis is Clean Air Christian Radio. I can't tell you how many times, and Brother David, you'll confirm this is true. People come across Clean Air Christian Radio. How? Scanning the dial. You know what that is? That's God, the risen Savior, in love, reaching out to you. And this morning, in the stillness of your heart, you need to recognize the love of God in your life. You are not too far gone. You haven't messed it up too much. You have felt him reaching out to you today. Would you respond to the love of the risen Savior? So I want you to see this morning his love. But would you look with me at the passage again? Beginning in verse number 19, we'll go back and move forward. And he said unto them, says Jesus speaking, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted, we hoped, we had expected that it would have been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but they saw not. And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. You know, I look at these guys, or Cleopas, and many believe it was his wife, so I'll try to refrain from saying two guys in case it is Mrs. Cleopas. I'd hate to offend her in retrospect. So these two disciples, if you will, you look at them, and these guys are stuck. You see, Jesus, he interjects himself into the conversation, and Jesus begins to probe, and he begins to ask questions. And you know what I find really encouraging here, and it kind of goes with what we had talked about in point number one, that Jesus listens to all of their disappointments. Jesus listens to all of their doubt. He listens to their despair, and you know what? He can handle it. Somebody question us, and we go, well. But Jesus heard all their doubts and all their disappointment and all their despair, and he can handle it. But what you see at these two is that they are absolutely stuck. They are stuck in the past. You look at all that they say, and it was Jesus, and he did these mighty deeds, and he was delivered up, he was condemned, he was crucified. We had trusted, we had hoped, we had expected, but all of that is now gone. These guys were stuck in the past. These guys were stuck in their problems. They were stuck. All they could see was a crucifixion. All they could see was a cross. All they could see were all of the hopes and dreams that they had, which would never come to fruition now in their hearts and mind. But the reality was, now hear me, these two were stuck in crucifixion while they were standing next to resurrection. These two were stuck in crucifixion while they were standing next to resurrection. And I love what Jesus does here. The Bible says that he addresses this and he begins to teach them, to lead them, to direct them from their confusion to God's purpose. He says in verse number 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, past tense, to enter into his glory, present tense. And then he went all the way back to the Old Testament and he began to expound from Moses and the prophets and all of those things that this is what God's plan had been all along. You know what resurrection reminds me of? Resurrection reminds me of this. That God is not surprised by this place. That God was not surprised by the cross. Peter, James, and John were surprised by the cross. Mary was surprised by the cross. Cleopas and his partner here were surprised by the cross. But God was not surprised by the cross. It was God's plan all along. By the way, you might even put it this way. Based on what the cross did for you and I, that God had planned us out of it before we ever got into it. You look at this, 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 19.
The Bible says, talking about verse 18, how we are born again with incorruptible, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Notice this in verse number 20, who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. You understand that? Before you were ever born, before your parents were ever born, before the world was ever created, before Adam ever sinned, before death and destruction, God had foreordained that Jesus would die for the sins of mankind. God had planned you out of it before you ever got into it. And we see the resurrection and the risen Savior. It not only shows me, number one, love, but it shows me, number two, God's leading. Shows me, number two, God's leading. That the risen Savior comes alongside and he begins to lead these disciples away from the destination they had arrived at in crucifixion and lead them to God's plan of resurrection. The reality is, folks, so many people talk and live and dream in the past tense. There's a problem with that. Because Jesus is the great I Am. And I can promise you this, what we see here based on the power of the risen Savior, if he can defeat hell, and he can defeat death, and he can defeat sin, then ladies and gentlemen, he knows and can lead you through whatever you face today. He is the great I Am. Don't miss what is because you're stuck in what was. I think one of the most beautiful examples of this, you go back one chapter to Luke chapter 23, and you find the Savior on the cross. You find the Savior dying for the sins of all mankind. You find the Savior suffering. He has become my sin. He has become your sin. God the Father has turned his back on him. He is suffering what you and I so rightfully deserve to suffer. And yet in the midst of all of that, there was a thief, the Bible says. A malefactor who turned to him. You see it beginning in verse number 42 of Luke 23. And he, the thief to his side, said, "Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Now pause right there if you would. He said, "Remember me when you come." The man didn't put any sort of time on it. The man didn't put any sort of expectation. He just said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." But I want you to see what Jesus did to this man who was suffering and dying, and might I add, rightfully so, to his side. What did Jesus do to give this man hope? What did Jesus do? In verse number 43, the Bible says, "And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." I'm going to tell you today, if you'll let him, no matter where you are, you will find the love of a risen Savior. And you will find the leading of the risen Savior. What bounds you doesn't have to bind you anymore. What happened to you doesn't have to define you anymore. In the risen Savior, we see his love. We see his leading. But I want you to notice how this ends. Verse number 28, "And they drew nigh unto the village." Remember Emmaus, where they were heading, and whether they went, and he made as though he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with him. Remember, they don't know who he is at this point still. They still don't know who he is. "And it came to pass that as he sat at table with him, that he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it unto them. And their eyes were opened, And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with him. I want you to see this morning, and this is where it all comes to a head, that yes, he reaches out to us with his love, with his risen love. He releases us with his liberty and his leading. But I want you to see here, I want you to see his life. His life that he offers to all who will come. I want you to know this morning that Jesus Christ offers eternal life. You know, in that story, I believe with all my heart that they recognized him not from his words, but from his wounds. When he took that bread and he broke it, I believe, and I can't necessarily give you chapter and verse, but I believe when he broke that bread and he went to hand it, that those two disciples saw the wounds in his hands, and they knew. And they knew. And it reminds us this, that Jesus Christ has risen again, that Jesus Christ is alive, that he conquered death, hell, and the grave, that he might bring us eternal life. That's the reason that Jesus died. That's the reason that Jesus was buried. That's the reason that Jesus rose again, is to save you from sin and its penalty. That's the reason. I know it's nice to feel warm and fuzzies about love and about leading, but if you miss the life, you've missed it all. You've missed it all. Jesus died that you might live. Jesus was separated from God on the cross that you might be brought nigh to God and a part of his family. Jesus became sin that we might become his righteousness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21, the Bible says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Jesus then rose again that you and I might be born again. Religion, I don't like that word. And I don't like that concept. Because you know, the reality about religion and what people think about religion is true in a lot of instances. A lot of people say, well, if that church, if that religion knew what I had done, they'd never let me in the door. If that church, if that religion knew what I had done and where I had been and what sins I had committed, they would kick me out before I ever get started. But do you know what resurrection says? Resurrection says that you are why Jesus came in the first place. This is not religion. This is resurrection. This is not religion. This is relationship with the living Lord. And the Bible says that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it just might be, beloved, that God has brought you to this place today to feel his love and to feel his leading, that he might call you out unto life. And the Bible says that if you would confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You don't have to be in a church to respond to the grace of God. You don't have to be with a preacher to respond to the grace of God. It is not between you and a preacher. It is not between you and a church. It's not about a baptismal. It's about a fact that every one of us come to realize that we are sinners separated from God, that we can never earn our way back to God, but that Jesus died to pay that debt. And I love the testimony Brother George gave several weeks ago. He said, you know, I just got to the place where I couldn't run from him anymore. And beloved, that's it. That you stop running from God. And you don't have to clean up your act. You know, why do we feel like we brush our teeth and floss before we go to the dentist? You ain't flossed all year, but you do it the day you go to the dentist.
And people feel like, well, I got to clean up my act before. No, no, no. That's why he died in the first place. If you would but turn to him in faith, trust in what he did for you in his death, burial, and resurrection, and receive him as your Savior. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He offers eternal life. And to those who know him, he offers empowered life. That we don't live the same drudgery we did before. You love these guys. For 20 or for 18 verses, these guys were moping. Oh, it's so sad. Woe is me. Oh, it's so hard. Oh, this is bad. All we thought. All we hoped. Yeah, I guess you can talk to us. And then, boom, the risen Savior. Empowered life. And the Bible says that as soon as they recognized him, what did they do? That they said, did not our heart burn within us? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Because once they recognized the resurrection, everything changed for these two. They immediately got up and went back. They risked life and limb to spread the good news. And Christians, he is risen. And everything about our life is tied to that undeniable truth. Paul wrote this, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse number 17. He said, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins. He said, and they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Listen to me today. If Jesus Christ didn't rise again, then there's no point in ever coming back to this place. If Jesus Christ didn't rise again, there's no point in ever reading this Bible again. If Jesus Christ isn't risen, there's no point in ever praying, because everything that matters in our life is tied to that reality that he is alive. And because he is alive, we can overcome. And because he is alive, we can be forgiven. And because he is alive, we can forgive. And because he is alive, we can teach and preach and love and give and go. Because he lives, not even death is a threat anymore. Later in that chapter, Paul said this, beginning in verse number 55. He said, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. And the Lord, he is alive. And I'm going to tell you, you can be forgiven because he is alive. You can. You can forgive because he is alive. You can face that diagnosis because he is alive. You can pass out that gospel tract because he is alive. You can, because he is. Rejoice, Christian. Jesus Christ is alive. And the risen Savior makes all the difference. Jesus' whole point was not to preach to these two, but to reach these two with his love, with his leading, and with his life. And I think the idea of reveal is the key. Because you know what? These guys didn't recognize it at first. They didn't. And I'm glad for that, because how many of us know that I don't recognize it at first a lot either? How many of us realize that I fail to see the love of God? That I fail to see the leading of God? That I fail to experience the resurrected life that Jesus Christ has given me so often? How many of us recognize today that we fail to see it? But you know what? If you choose to live by what you see, you're in real trouble. You're in real trouble. Can I give you an illustration? I kind of asked Brother Charles's permission for this. I kind of didn't. Am I good in frame? If all you do and all you live by is what you see, you're going to be in real trouble. Can I show you something? Let's see here. I want you to see. And if I'm honest with you today, if I'm preaching to what I'm seeing, I'm discouraged. Not because you guys don't look great, okay? Thank you, preacher. I love you. But you know, the reality for an Easter service is we're supposed to be setting out extra chairs. We're supposed to be setting out extra chairs. We're supposed to have greeters and parking lot helpers and multiple special musics and this and this. And it's supposed to be, oh, it's just supposed to be overflowing. And you know what? If I live by what I can see, it can be real easy to be discouraged sometimes. But the reality is this. I have to look beyond what I can see and know that there are dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of devices, families watching on Facebook, people logged into cleanair.fm, listening to 90.5, 89.5 on the radio. You know what I realized this morning? That I have to go beyond what I can see. You know what the resurrection teaches us? The resurrection teaches us that we too have to go beyond what we can see. You know what? Because I don't always see His love, but I know He loves me. And I don't always feel His leading, but I know He's leading. I don't always understand this life, but I know that it's His. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen indeed with love and with leading and with life. And this morning, the risen Savior reaches out to you. This isn't how you pictured spending Easter. But I'm asking you this morning to look beyond what you can see and to reach back to Him.